I'd like to read a scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 on page 1458. Now faith is the substantiating of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For in the power of this the elders have obtained testimony. By faith we apprehend that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that that which is seen should not take its origin from the things which appear. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained testimony of being righteous, God bearing testimony of his gifts, and by it, having died, he yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he has the testimony that he had pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please God, to please him. For he that draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him out. By faith Noah, oracularly warned concerning things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And then, just a little later on, verse 13. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. For they who say such things show clearly that they seek their country. I want to say a few words about faith, the importance of faith. Faith, of course, is the gift of God. But without it, it's impossible to please God. God has given us everything. This scripture shows us how things were created, how things began, how we can understand that. Men will try and make all sorts of theories, have all sorts of theories about how the world began. The Bible is absolutely clear, created by the Word of God. And by faith we can understand that. It doesn't, shall we say, stand up to reason, because man likes to reason things out and to be able to prove everything and prove it wrong or prove it right. But God has a scene of things that are far beyond our human understanding. But what he wants us to understand, he has revealed to us in his scriptures. And by faith we apprehend that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And the word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Other scriptures tell us that by whom he made the world. The worlds include you and me. They include all of us. God has created us all. And we're not aimless. We're not to be aimless. Without a purpose or view of what's going to happen. God has shown us quite clearly in the scriptures what is going to happen. But God, in his grace, has shown us that he desires to have us in his presence, desires to have man redeemed. The terrible history of man, going back to Cain, or going back to Adam, just sinned in the garden and disobeyed God. Disobedience is sin. And it's disobedience of God that will keep us out of his blessing. The obedience of faith will bring us into blessing. So we have to obey. We can't achieve anything on our own, in our own strength or our own merit. We have no standing before God because of sin. We're all sinners and we're all in the same position. No one's different. We may be greater or lesser sinners, but we're all sinners before God. But God does not just want us to stay like that. God is the God of love. And he has sent his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be brought back to him. There's no other way. Men would like to think that there are other ways of approach to God. The Jews thought that they could do it by just continuing on with the sacrifices, but God, when God sent his Son, they rejected him. That's the human heart. We don't want what God has provided. And But the Lord Jesus was meek and lowly in heart. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And God could not have done more. God could not have sent anything more precious to him than his beloved son. It says when he sent the prophets to them, and they slew them and treated them badly. Last of all, he said, I will send my son. The Lord Jesus is the final speaking of God. God cannot send anything more precious. God cannot do anything more. The way of blessing has been shown, and it is free. It is offered free. You don't have to do anything. In fact, you can't do anything. If you try to do something, you'll just spoil it. You can't do anything. Our own works will not get us into heaven. But you need to just repent and trust in the Lord Jesus. God is calling you. God desires that all men should repent. God desires the blessing of all. He doesn't rejoice in evil. God hates evil. God abhors evil. There was only one man that lived here on this earth that was pleasurable to God, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did we do? We crucified him. We rejected him. We put him on the cross. You might say, well, we weren't there then. Well, no, we weren't. But because we're sinners and we don't like what God offers, we turn away. The human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And we'll find all ways we can of trying to get by. But then the question comes, where do we stand before a holy God? Have we got what he has required? Have we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus? Has the Lord Jesus taken our heart? That is the only way. That's the way that the Lord Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. And faith is the gift of God. Peter speaks of precious faith, precious blood, precious promises. Peter was one of the disciples whom we read the most. He made many mistakes, and he had many bright moments in his path when the Lord was here. But at the end of his time, he could write an epistle and speak about all the things that were precious to him. The blood and the faith and the promises. And they're given to us. Those things that are so precious. We cannot value them in terms of this world's valuation. They're far beyond anything that we could price that we could put on them. But God has given them to us if we trust in the Lord Jesus. The gospel is preached, the epistle to the Romans tells us, for the obedience of faith. So there is nothing you can do to earn your own salvation. Nothing you can do. But there's one thing you must do in order to get the blessing, and that is to obey. That is, we come to the end of ourselves, we accept that we're not fit for God's presence, and we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. It's a provision of God. God has provided a saviour. It's so simple. Youngest child can do it. We don't have to be intelligent or old. The younger you do it, the better. And the scripture says now is the accepted time. And we don't know how long the day of grace is. It's called the day of grace when God in grace is waiting upon men. It's called the day of grace. And we don't know how long that day will last. The Lord Jesus might come tonight. And where would that find you? We need to ask ourselves, because father and mother may be believers, but you have to come to the Lord Jesus for yourself. You have to trust in him for yourself. It's personal. Think of those people in the Gospels who came to the Lord. Everyone. They didn't come as a crowd. The crowds were around him, but that woman came, and she came. She had a flux of blood, and she came, and the Lord, she touched the hem of his garment. Everyone who came to the Lord and got blessing, it was an individual touch or communication from the Lord. You cannot come in a crowd, and you cannot rely on your parents or anyone else. You have to come to him for yourself. So this chapter is a wonderful chapter on faith. It speaks of those early saints, Abel, the first man that was murdered. It's path of sin is terrible. How quickly man degenerated into such things as murder. The first sin recorded is the sin of disobedience. The second sin recorded is the sin of murder. And yet, we know from the Epistle of John that Cain was a wicked man. His works were evil. He was an evil man. That's why God didn't look on his offering. Not only because he brought of the fruit of the ground, I think, but because he was an evil man. But Cain was a righteous man, offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. These were men, very little said about faith in the Old Testament, just one scripture that refers to it. But there was clearly faith there, faithfulness and faith. This chapter clearly shows that these men worked in faith. What they did was in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. So what we have to do, our responsibility is to repent. And then God gives us the faith to trust in the Lord Jesus. And that faith is to remain with us, is to become brighter and brighter as it did in Peter's soul. Precious faith. And it is a precious faith. It's a holy faith. There's nothing like faith. It's believing God. Like Abraham, just believe God. It was something that was impossible to men. He believed God. He just believed God. He was 75 years old when God said that to him. He had to wait another 25 years for that son to be born. But he believed God, and it was reckoned as righteousness. That's the first righteous thing we can do, is to believe God, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we get Noah, the story of the flood. Wickedness again reared its head. Terrible time of... We're not told in detail what happened, but we're told have a little picture of the sin of man, exceedingly great. And then a few hundred years later, we get God coming down in judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. The history of this world is a very sad history, and we're all sinners in God's sight. And God comes in sometimes in judgment. But the wonderful thing is that the worst crime that man has committed, the death of the Lord Jesus, committing him to death, God did not come in judgment on man. The judgment fell on the head of Jesus. And that is something for us to ponder, that why didn't God... That was far worse sin than any of those other periods that I've spoken of. Far worse sin. And yet God didn't come in judgment. That was because God is a God of blessing, a God of love. But every time in the history of the world and the history of the children of Israel, about which we read much in the Old Testament, every time there was a departure from God or a rejection of him, God gave them something more. Think of the murmuring in the wilderness. God gave them the manna. That is what God is like. Although we turn away and reject him, it's said that the sun shines on your back. God loves you. God wants you to repent and know the blessing of believing. What happens if you don't? Well, it's very solemn. Man may have his many theories of what happens after death. Some are petrified of it. All maybe, if they really think about it, are petrified of it. But for the believer, we have a hope that is beyond death. And death is but the entrance into the heavenly glory, the presence of the Lord Jesus. But for the unbeliever, some have said, well, I'll ask God this and that and the other. And if there is a God. But I think the scripture that it strikes me as being one of the most solemn scriptures, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, man came into the wedding feast without a wedding garment. He says to him, my friend, how camest thou in here, not having a wedding garment? But he was speechless. Man in his pride, arrogance, thinks that he'll have an answer. But I don't think you'll be saying anything, anyone will be saying anything at the Great White Throne. It'll be the books will be open, a book of life is opened, they're looked at, your history is told you, you can see where you went, where you rejected God, and that will be the case closed. Case closed. No room for anyone to argue with God. Very solemn. So the glory and blessing of what God is offering is so stark in connection, in comparison with the thought of eternity without Christ, that God desires all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is the truth. I am the way, the Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no truth outside of Christ. And it is that God wants us to accept tonight. He wants everyone here to know, be assured that you have a link with the Lord Jesus Christ. May you ponder these thoughts and come to the Lord Jesus for his name's sake.